Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings 25. We're going to finish 2 Kings today. So 2 Kings 25. Now it came about in the ninth year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and his army, against Jerusalem, camped against it, and built a siege wall all around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was so severe in the city, there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls beside the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were all around the city, and they went by way of the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king, brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and he passed sentence on him. And they slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, then put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon. Now on the seventh day of the fifth month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, even every great house he burned with fire. And so all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Then the rest of the people who were left in the city and the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon and the rest of the multitude, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away into exile. But the captain of the guard left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. But the bronze pillars which were in the house of the Lord, and the stands and the bronze sea which was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried the bronze to Babylon. And they took away the pots and shovels, the snuffers, the spoons, and all the bronze vessels which were used in temple service. The captain of the guard also took away the fire pans and the basins, which was fine gold, and what was fine silver. The two pillars, the one sea, and the stands which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these vessels was beyond weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and a bronze capital was on it. The height of the capital was 3 cubits, with a network and pomegranates on the capital all around, all of bronze. And the second pillar was like these, with network. Then the captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and with the three officers of the temple, and from the city he took one official who was overseer of the men of war, and five of the king's advisers who were found in the city, and the scribe of the captain of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was led away into exile from his land. Now, as for the people who were left in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, he appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, over them. When all the captains of the forces, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, namely Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kariah, and Sarai, the son of Tanhumeth, the Nito-Fatite, and Jaazaniah, the son of Makathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah swore to them and their men and said to them, "Do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Live in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will be well with you." But it came about in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck Gedaliah down so that he died along with the Jews and the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. Then all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the forces arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. Now it came about in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month of the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he became king, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. And he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings who were with him in Babylon. And Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes and had his meals in the king's presence regularly all the days of his life. And for his allowance, a regular allowance was given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. Amen. Okay. So this is the closing chapter of Judah. It's also so rich in history. If you really want to understand Kings, especially this last part, you have to read Lamentations. You have to read Jeremiah. You have to read some of Ezekiel as well. And they are giving you all the background, even Daniel, actually, to really understand all that's going on here. Like, I'll give you an idea. So at the end of verse at 27, we find that Nebuchadnezzar dies. And so his son, which is a really crazy name is Evil. His son enters into the throne, but he seems to show incredible kindness to Jehoiakim, who, remember, the king that was in exile, the last king of Judah. And why has this happened? It's because you have to understand Daniel. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar goes mad for 7 years in the book of Daniel? And so during those 7 years' time, they imprisoned his son, Evil. And so he is in prison. He's most likely, and not most likely, he is in prison next to Jehoiakim. And so those 7 years where his father goes crazy, he goes and he basically befriends, or Jehoiakim befriends Evil, and there's a bond and a kinship that happens. When Nebuchadnezzar dies, next thing you know, Evil is lifted up to the throne and remembers his relationship with Jehoiakim, takes him out of prison, puts him in a lofty position, and he's still a prisoner, but no more prison clothes. He wears his royal attire. He makes him more senior than all the other vassal states, as well as he eats his meals with the king every single day. Now, you would never understand that, or like, why is this happening, unless you read Daniel. And a lot of the stuff that's going on here, especially the siege that's happening, that's the bulk of the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah is lamenting the fact that Jerusalem has fallen and the atrocities that happen in the city. These are just summary statements that we get in Kings, but Lamentations and other parts of Jeremiah will express the grief and the sorrow and the cannibalism and all the stuff that's going on because they laid a siege upon this place. And so remember, Zedekiah is Mattaniah, which is the uncle of the king of Babylon, but he turns, he does evil, and he rebels against his nephew, which is a really stupid thing to do. You gotta understand during this time that Nebuchadnezzar, even though he's so powerful, he's starting to lose his marbles a little bit. And so maybe other vassal states probably see some kind of open door. It's not written, you don't see it here in Kings, but in the other passages you'll read it, that what happens is Zedekiah aligns himself with the Ammonites. And they think because of that treaty, they can basically disrupt what's happening to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is so incensed about this that he himself goes down and he builds a wall around Jerusalem. And so that's a common tactic, starve them out, cut off the water supply, cut off the food supply. And so he wants these guys to suffer and suffer slowly, suffer greatly. And that's his whole plan. But then you find out that Nebuchadnezzar leaves because then there's a threat coming out of Egypt. So he leaves Jerusalem and he leaves in charge this captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan. And so that's kind of what happens. So all kinds of horrible things were happening here. People are killing each other, eating each other. I mean, just horrible things are moving along. And then finally, they capture Zedekiah and the army, find a little escape path. They get all the way down to Jericho, which is pretty good trip away from Jerusalem. They get all the way down there. It's kind of like the tip of the Dead Sea. They get down, gets captured, kills all of his sons, all of his captains, and he plucks out his eyes. And the ancients would do that with this idea that if you couldn't see, then you couldn't rule. And so there must have been something, so they didn't kill him. But they put out his eyes, and they bound him, and they brought him to Babylon. He ended up being a prisoner his whole life. So then Jerusalem is burned and plundered. And the author goes to great lengths to talk about what happens to the temple. The temple now is completely destroyed. This was the prophecy that was written before. And all the instruments that were used to worship God and to sacrifice before the Lord are now totally taken away. It's really a sad thing happens. Now all the people, remember before, only the poor were left. And out of that, there seemed to be some valiant men. Now they're all taken to exile. And only the poorest of the poor is left basically to tend the fields and the gardens there. And they're all now taken away into captivity, they're all brought to the king at Riblah. They're all put to death in front of Nebuchadnezzar, who's at Riblah still. And then he does something. He makes Gedaliah the governor. This was a really good move because Gedaliah was actually a friend of Jeremiah's. And so there was a lot of history. He was a good leader. And so he was left in charge to take care. And it seemed like Nebuchadnezzar had a real soft spot for Jerusalem and for whatever reason. And I mean, obviously, it was the Lord. And Gedaliah is made governor, and things seem to be okay. But then the exiled royal family, the royal seat, Ishmael and his captains come, and most likely not very happy that Gedaliah, you know, someone who's not of the tribe of David or the son of David, is in charge of the city. So he comes in. And with malice on his heart, he moves into this place. And Gedaliah, he in verse 24, you won't get it, but he says, Gedaliah swore to them and their men and said to them, do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Live in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it'll be well with you. And so why does he have to swear something like that? He's making an oath that, hey, you know, I'm not here to be the king. Just bid your time. Live in the land, serve the king. Don't worry the Chaldeans, they're not going to kill you, even though your royal family and all these things. Just come and serve and just live peacefully on the land. And so Gedaliah is good heart. He's trying to say, hey, let's just live peacefully. But unfortunately, Ishmael comes and strikes him down with his 10 men as when Gedaliah was actually hosting them for a dinner. I mean, these are the most rudest guests, right? You get invited to dinner and you kill the host. But that's what happens. And all the captains, they all flee to Egypt at this time. And then you get the story of Jehoiakim and the kindness that happens to their through Nebuchadnezzar's son who becomes king in this place. And so, it's a pretty interesting history. This is, again, compiled history that's basically written much more in depth in the book of the prophets, particularly Jeremiah, Lamentations, a little bit of Ezekiel, and parts of Daniel. And so when we get to those passages, we can look back and understand the fall of Jerusalem and exactly what's going on behind the scenes of all this. But the basic idea, and what I want to get to in the place of prayer today, the basic idea goes all the way back to the beginning when we started Kings. If you follow the Lord, you obey his commandments, and you live according to the law, there'll be great blessing that comes our way. For you as a king, for you as a family, and also for the nation as a leader. Now, if you turn away from the Lord and follow and chase after other gods, then destruction will come to your family and also to the nation. And so we've endured, two books, 1 and 2 Kings, actually going all the way back to 1 and 2 Samuel. Remember I said way before that's actually 1, 2, 3, and 4 Kings originally, but then they divvied out to 1, 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings. But it should be 1 through 4 Kings, the whole story of all the kings of Israel. And when you go through this, going all the way back to 1 Samuel, we find that same theme woven through, and now it comes as culmination in that Israel was unfaithful before the Lord. They did not follow his laws. They did not follow and love the Lord their God with all their heart. And they turned their hearts after other gods and did despicable things even in the place of worship of their God. And calamity happens as a result. And that's basically the overriding theme. We see the culmination of that happening here in Israel. So let's close our eyes. And, really, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about this. Let the Holy Spirit really move in our hearts. It's such a simple formula. It's when he stood in front of the mount, Moses did, to the Israelites, and he said simply, if you follow the Lord, blessing, prosperity, the goodness of God will fall on you. If you don't follow the Lord, if you don't listen to his laws and his ways, then guess what? Destruction is going to come your way. And sadly enough, now we see the culmination of that in the fall of Israel. And so how can we take that today? I mean, it's the same message today. Follow the Lord, love God, and you'll be loved by him. Right? The Bible tells us that if we obey the Lord, right, and follow him, then the love of God will come into our lives. Now, if we don't do that, if we chase after other gods and all kinds of things, then destruction comes our way. And so let's really ask the Lord to give us strength to choose wisely. Joshua himself says it in 24, says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Either the gods, you know, across the river, but he says, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we wake up every morning with that in our hearts. Who are we going to serve? What are we going to do? And so as we sing a song of worship, let's just ask the Lord to speak to us and let's just respond to the Lord in that way. Let's pray this morning, huh? Every day, let's make a commitment to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Every day we wake up with the decision to make. Either we live for ourselves and do whatever we want to do, or we follow the Lord. The Lord whose will is best, is perfect. His desire is just love over us. And we choose that, or we choose death. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our community battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. We pray for Calvin. He's battling a cough right now, so he's on antibiotics, and so he needs to have that cleared, or else they might postpone his chemo. And so let's pray for God's healing over his cough as well as the cancer. Let's pray. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters and friends and family that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer-related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our sister. She finds work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for our churches there. SPSG, pray for Pastor Sam Kim and the leaders, that God would continue to use them. Pray for Spin, pray for Pastor Selamat, his family, and all the the people of the church and the church plants, that God would really raise up an army here in Hong Kong. Let's just pray over these countries and ask for the Holy Spirit to change them for His glory. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, the IP Well and the River. And let's ask God's hand to be upon our leaders, our servants as they serve in these ministries, every person they come in contact with, that they would receive healing and the prayers of God's people will be effective. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Pray for our leaders and our volunteers and our students that they would really draw closer to the Lord. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight, the SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would just rule and reign and just really have His way. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, East Bay and Olympic. Ask the Lord to use our leaders and our people would come together and really love God and love each other. And lastly, let's pray for the women's retreat coming up. And let's pray for God's hand to be upon our ladies. Pastor Sunhee should have just landed just now into Hong Kong. Pray that she would get a good day of rest today and get charged up tomorrow. Pray for our women's ministry leaders and our discussion group leaders, and that they would really have an incredible encounter with God at Noah's Ark. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Lord, again, as we close out 2 Kings, Lord, God, we're reminded really the fruit, God, of disobedience, Lord. A whole city ransacked, Lord. People killed, God. A nation, God, in slavery. Lord, I pray, God, even for ourselves, Lord, that every day, God, we wake up, we understand, Lord, that we want to serve you and not ourselves, God. But we want to serve you. Your will is best, God. Your understanding is beyond our capabilities, Lord. And so we rest, God, on you and you alone. So help us, Lord, to really just run hard after you. We thank you, Lord. Just watch over us as we pray today. We love you, God. Let's close in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow. And don't be afraid to root for the Dodgers today, Game 7. All right, bless you guys.